we will move on. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. You know, we as people who are saved by grace have a problem often that affects every single one of us here this morning. Our problem is that we're forgetful. Anybody relate to that? You know, we can remember all kinds of things, especially what others have done to us or have said about us, but we tend to forget what the Lord's done in our lives. We have a long memory when it comes to our hurts, our sorrows, our burdens, but a very short memory when it comes to recalling just how good the Lord has been. Just a little test to confirm that. How many of you, even this last week, have had a great day? The weather was good, you accomplished things, and things went well, and sometime in that day, one little thing went wrong. When you went to bed that night, what did you think about? So I often go back to that one little thing that went wrong. And we forget to say, Lord, thank you for these great things that completely overshadowed what that little thing might have been. You know, that's just kind of the way we often are. Anybody remember the acronym G-I-G-O? Anybody that far back? G-I-G-O? Come on, computer people. That's it! Garbage in, garbage out. Yep. So, Scripture says that also. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. Proverbs 23:7. Right? As we think in our heart. You know, by thinking this way in our hearts, we radiate something. Many of you read the Daily Bread this morning. Talked about this lady wrote about her dad, the story about her dad that went to visit some friends' friends. You know how that those often go. Friends' friends are not always an easy fit sometimes, but he stayed with that family that was friends of his friends. And it was just a blessed time, just a wonderful time. And he came home and he reported, and he still talks about this writer of this devotional said he still talks about the fragrance of Christ that was in them, that was there. And then I heard this morning in a sermon as we were listening to the radio about how when armies would go into cities, conquering armies, people would throw, they had very fragrant flowers there. They'd throw these fragrant flowers on the streets, and as the horses walked over these was this fragrance that went out. And they commented, I don't know if that's where it came from, but when a bride walks down the aisle, throwing the petals out, and even there, as they're stepped on, that fragrance escapes. Now, we can be that fragrance, but sometimes we're so caught up in thinking of that one negative thing or those. Now, David had this problem also. In these first two verses, Psalm 103, and we'll read the whole thing. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems you, your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But the first two verses, David calls upon his soul to remember what the Lord has done. He wants to stir up the inner man to get him excited about what he has in God and what the Lord has promised to do for him and in him. David calls upon his soul to do two things. First, to praise the Lord. The word bless means to kneel with the idea of adoration and praise. So when we say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, that's the concept. David knows that God is worthy of all the praise we can render to him. And David wants his soul to be involved in praising the Lord. Secondly, he calls upon his soul to ponder the Lord. He challenges his soul, his inner being, not to forget what the Lord has done for it. Notice all the personal pronouns in verses 3 to 5. Thy, thee, thine, or you, your, my. They all refer to our inner being, our soul, right? By the way, forgetting is far more than just failing to remember. Because this in here carries with it the idea of turning from God to follow other gods. We forget what God has done to the point of starting to think that other things look okay. And we can start walking in that direction. A lapse of spiritual memory will cause believers to wander. And David wants his soul to contemplate all the benefits which the Lord has given. The word benefits means dealings. It refers to how the Lord treats the soul. And sometimes our soul forgets just how good God has been and continues to be to us, his children. Isn't it true that we allow ourselves to get caught up in the problems and troubles of life, so much so that we forget where the Lord found us, what we were like when we came to him, what he did for us, and where he's taking us? Aren't we guilty of allowing our eyes to sometimes wander from the Lord? Aren't we guilty of allowing our focus to be man-centered instead of God-centered? You know, the me, the my, those kind of things. Far too often we're guilty of forgetting what God has done in us. You see, the world around us is in a constant state of change. There's battles and there's things going on around and threats and all of that. And we recognize that we're just one button away from a war. The economy, though, seems to be getting better. That's what the reports are saying. It's still not great, is it? People are having problems with their health, their homes, their finances. And even church is not immune from problems as people come and go. But I would remind you this morning that while the world is changing, while the church is changing, while your life is changing, the benefits of the Lord never change. Amen? Why? Because he never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes my soul forgets just who God is and what he has done for me. Sometimes I need a reminder of the benefits I enjoy as a child of God. We recently, and I mentioned to you that we recently had an overnight visit from two of my sisters and their husbands. One lives in San Diego, the other up in Fort Langley, British Columbia. The Californians went up with their motorhome and picked the Canadians up, and they came down and spent the night with us. And we spent the evening reminiscing of how the Lord had worked in our lives, our family's life, when we were young. You see, when we got married and lived in a little town in North Dakota, 280 population, went to high school in a neighboring small town, 312 population, at that point, in the little town where we lived, where Beth and I moved to after we got married, there were three churches, none of them evangelical, none of them preached the gospel. And I knew of one lady who was a Christian who had had a nervous breakdown, and everybody said, that's just the way she is. There were no Christians. God called us to start, well, actually, Beth's uncle invited us, and we started doing some Bible studies in our home. People started coming to know the Lord. And 9 years later, we went off to Bible college. When we left, they had a farewell for us. There were 190 Christians. 190 Christians that were there for our farewell from that community. It was just a revival that God had done at that time. We spent the evening with my sisters talking about that, talking about what God had done in our hearts and our lives, how he brought us to himself. And I tell you, that glow from that visit lasted for a long time. Do we ponder those things that God has done in our hearts and our lives? If we do, it'll change our lives. It'll change our hearts. We'll be that fragrance that people just love to be around and to hear about. So, if you've allowed your soul to forget the things that God has done for you, then this message is designed to speak to your heart. I know it spoke to mine. If you're guilty of allowing the burdens of life, the actions of others to influence your walk with the Lord, God has a word for you this morning. You'll have to excuse me. In your bulletin sheet with the outline, first point is, as a sinner, he forgives me. Verse 3. Who forgives all your sins. See, man's greatest need makes the top of David's list. David uses the word sins or iniquities. This word means bent or crookedness. It refers to the evil bent in our nature that pulls us towards sin. It brings to mind the fact that I'm a sinner. I have sinned. But it also points out the fact that I'm guilty of sin now and always will be, so long as I'm in this body. I tend to be prone toward it. Yes, he forgives all the shortcomings of my soul. That is, he takes our sins and puts them away from him forever. He did this through the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wow. So now all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been forever put away through the gift of God in Christ Jesus. This is present tense. Not only has he cleansed me in the past, he continually cleanses me in the present, and he will continue to cleanse me in the future until the day when my sin nature will no longer be around. I'll forever be left behind, and I'll stand perfected in his presence and glory. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and yes, he cleanses us and purifies us, but we still struggle with that nature, don't we? Does this mean that we're sinless? No, it doesn't, unfortunately. We sin, and when we do, the accuser, from Revelation 12:10, the devil stands before the Lord, and he points his finger and says, look at what Tom just did. Do you see that? And when he does this, we as Christians have a man on the inside, right? Our advocate. 1 John 2:1 simply holds out his nail-pierced hands and says, we don't know what sins you're talking about. That person is a child of God, and they're righteous through the blood of the Lamb, and their sins are forgiven, and they're forgotten. I once had the privilege of being with a dear saint at her deathbed, when she was on her deathbed. And she was struggling. She was just concerned that, you know, are my sins taken care of? Am I really right with God? And I got a little bold with her. I just said, how dare you? She said, what? I said, have you asked Jesus into your heart to be your Savior? She said, yes. I said, well, do you think that Jesus couldn't have paid for any of your sins? All of your sins? How dare you? And she just smiled, nodded her head, and praised the Lord. But sometimes we tend to think our sins are bigger than that. Bigger than the sacrifice that Jesus paid? How dare you? As a sinner, he forgives me. How could my soul forget that? How could I be so foolish as to become distracted from his glory by the mundane and trivial events of life? In your bulletin, on that sheet, up at the top, there's a part of this scripture verse. Would you say it with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Then secondly, as a sick man, he heals me. Second part of verse 3. Heals all your diseases. These bodies we wear are often afflicted with sickness and diseases, aren't they? But this verse is not just referring to physical healings. It's not always God's will to heal his people from their physical afflictions, regardless of what some preachers say. He's referring to the sickness of the soul here. Our souls are subject to many terrible maladies. Among them, I'm not trying to get personal here, but here they are: lust, hate, greed, jealousy, discouragement, depression, anger, fear, guilt, doubt. Those are just a few that we struggle with. And just as surely as diseases of the body can take away physical life, the diseases of the soul can deaden us toward the things of God and leave us lifeless and weak. Don't let those things be a part of we are, of our thinking. Thank God he has a remedy for the diseases of the soul. And this word, again, is in the present tense. Each day the divine physician visits his patients, and through his grace he tenderly and effectively heals all the diseases of our souls as we yield them to him. How could the soul ever forget the tender touch of the great physician? As time and again he has diagnosed and treated and healed the diseases of our soul, when I think of the help and healing I've received, what can I say but bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. bless His holy name. As a slave, He redeems me. Redeems your life from the pit. Every soul that enters this world is a slave to sin, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But also, and also every soul is headed to a horrible conclusion as well. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Don't you love the next word? Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God He saw our plight, provided redemption. He saw our enslavement, and He saw that the ultimate destiny in hell that awaited every single member of the human race. But He wasn't merely content to see it. He did something about it. He came into this world and paid the price for our redemption on the cross. Now those who were slaves to sin and headed for an eternity in hell have been delivered from their slavery and have a heavenly hope. And that hope is not just, I hope so. It's a confidence. It's a trust in. It's a knowing. We have that hope today. The word redeems, once again, present tense. The redemption enjoyed by us as children of God is never going to falter or fail until all the saints arrive safely home in glory. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When I think of the fact that I was once a slave to sin, but now I'm free from that bondage, control, you see, there's somebody I can go to always. Sin's curse, sin's penalty. I just have to say, let's say it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. As the songwriter David Crowder sings in his song entitled, Come Thou Font, it's also an old hymn, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. He made all the difference in my life. How could my soul forget that kind of a blessing? Oh, it does from time to time. But when it remembers, the problems of life tend to fade into insignificance. And again, it becomes more glorious than ever. So practice it. Practice proclaiming the presence of God. The blessings of God. And as a son of His, He crowns me, verse 4. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Psalmist says that like a king passing down the power and glory of his kingdom to a beloved son. We are king's kids, aren't we? The people of God are crowned with the blessings of the Lord's great kingdom. We're told that He crowns His children with love and kindness or compassion. Love corresponds to what the New Testament calls grace. Thank God there's grace for the journey. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, But He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. In our weakness, as we call on Him, His power is made perfect. So kindness carries the idea of compassion and tender love. His grace is matchless and marvelous, but His tender mercies are glorious beyond explanation. Brings to mind a tender touch of a mother. There's something in that touch that communicates love, peace, safety, and well-being. I thank God for His tender touch. As I pass through life. Again, I love from Psalm 139, says He encloses me behind and before. That just sounds like a holy hug, doesn't it? this too. Again, present tense. His mercies are new every day. I want to share with you a verse that there was a time, it was probably the most difficult time in our life and our ministry. We printed out this verse as a banner and put it over our closet in the bedroom. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Mark that one. When you're going through a hard time, claim that verse. Rely on that verse. There have been times when human touches and words were ineffective, the valleys of life. But even in the midst of those times, I've never been betrayed beyond the tender touch of my Heavenly Father. Just the feel of His hand as He reached into my heart was more wonderful than I can describe. The sure knowledge that He, with His rod and His staff, the tools that both reprimand and comfort and protection, were ever present to lead, to feed, to guide, and give hope for the journey. God moves in the realm of overabundance. In the arena of more than enough. A lot of Christians say, Jesus is all we need. Or Jesus is all I want. When He moves into your life, He'll never be just enough. He will always be more than enough. More than adequate. How could my soul ever forget that He crowns me with love and kindness? When I think of His grace and His goodness toward us, we just have to burst into proclamation. Come on, let's say it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And then fifth, as a saint, He satisfies me. As our gracious Heavenly Father, He gives His children good things. He doesn't always give us what we want. But He always gives us what's best. Romans 8, 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Those who rest in Him and draw their strength from Him will find that they're in a constant state of renewal and that their spiritual stamina will never fail. This allows them to soar above the storms and difficulties of life like the mighty eagles. Amen? According to verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And when I think of how He has buoyed me from the storms of life, I can only humbly bow my head and proclaim as a prayer of praise, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. So, all of this to say that sometimes my soul forgets the great blessings of the Lord, doesn't it? When it does, it's time to get before Him, to seek His face, to get a reminder of the great things He's done for us. Get into His Word. Talk with fellow Christians. Think of those things that God has done. And His blessings are new every morning. A guy named David Stendhal Rast wrote, "The root of joy is gratefulness. It's not joy that makes us grateful. It's gratitude that makes us joyful." Think about it. He also wrote, "Look closely And you will find that people are happy because they're grateful. We've all been around people that aren't happy or grateful, haven't we? He also, one more, he said, we're never more than one grateful thought away from peace of heart. And I would suggest that it's not just gratefulness to that I found a $10 bill on the street or something like that. It's gratefulness to God for His goodness, His provision. Let's practice it every day. Develop the habit of gratitude. As David says in Psalm 147, verse 7, sing to the Lord with grateful praise. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. And Philippians 4, 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And let's think about the hangnails, and let's think about the flat tires, and let's... No. Doesn't say that, does it? Have you become so caught up in the burdens and problems of your life that you've forgotten His benefits in your life? I have to tell you a story about my uncle. In a former life, I was a Standard Oil agent in North Dakota, delivered gasoline and diesel fuel. I had an uncle that was my customer. And he was probably the most negative person I've ever met. I would leave his place depressed. So I started thinking, okay, what can I do about this? So I'd try to change the subject. Didn't work. So I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is the first thing I do when I pull up and he walks up to my truck and I jump out of the truck, I'm going to say something positive. In this one day, and this is what inspired the picture in the background, we had been having a drought. And this is wheat and barley and sugar beets and, you know, farming is, and we're in right along the Minnesota-North Dakota border and it's black. The good black soil, but it's the kind of soil that you can't irrigate, because if you do, then and we get rain, things would drown out. So because it doesn't run off, it's just so we're dependent on the rains. And this year, there were no rains, and things were on the verge. I mean, the talk was all of the crops are going to be destroyed because of the drought. Well, this day, as I was going out to make a delivery to his place, the forecast was for rain. There were clouds in the sky, rain clouds in the sky. It smelled like rain. So I jumped out of the truck and I said, well, looks like we're going to get the rain and save the crops. He said, yep, it'll probably start raining, never quit, and drown them all out. You know somebody like that, don't you? Have you allowed others and their actions to turn your heart away from the Lord and His blessings in your life? I wonder how many of us are really in a place where our souls are grateful to God for His many blessings. Or is there a need for us to reach deep within ourselves and say to our soul from the depth of our heart and soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Amen. God, thank You that You do bless us day by day. Help us not to forget. Help us to practice, even this week, to start and develop the habit of practicing, proclaiming blessings that You've given us day by day. Thank You, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, Lord God, bless Your holy name.